You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, Pastor Mazuba joining us on the line to get into our review of Chapter 9 of The Great Controversy. My Pastor, good morning. Welcome back once again to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us, Pastor. We are going on with Chapter 9. We started talking about this a few days ago, and we're talking about Huldrych Zwingli, the Swiss reformer, whose work marked a very pivotal chapter in the Protestant Reformation. We talked about his upbringing and his education and his father's influence, his parents' influence on him in his upbringing and all of that. So let's continue with that. If you could maybe start with a word of prayer, and then let's get into just a brief recap of what we covered with regards to the story of Huldrych Zwingli.
Let's pray. Gracious Lord, your word is your word, and there's nothing that we can do against your word except for the truth. As we delve into this discussion this day, we plead for guidance from above. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Over to you, Pastor.
Thank you. Just as we looked at, just to recap on what we had looked at on Tuesday, the bringing up of Zwingli had to do with the parents. They prepared his mind from childhood. And we see that what they had imparted in his mind is what he followed. And he was able to stand for the truth. And shaken, condemning the traditions of the church and uplifting the name of Jesus. And that only Jesus was the only Savior who could forgive sins and not anybody else. Briefly, that's what I would say.
Beautiful. And it was a very inspirational story to see. I think what I liked a lot about the story was looking at him all the way from childhood and seeing that his the influence that his upbringing had on him to make him into this person that even the other people could see such talent in him, and they could see that they could use or exploit that talent for their own agendas. And I think that that's something to say about ourselves, that when God blesses us, even the devil can see how God has blessed us. The devil can see what gifts the Lord has given to us, and he can see how he can exploit those gifts and talents for his own purpose. And so we need to be careful, not just for ourselves, but even for those we are responsible for, like our children or even our friends, our neighbors, when we see that their gift is at risk of being exploited by the enemy, to be able to help direct them in the right way so that it can be used only for the glory of God. And I thought that that was powerful, even despite the fact that he could have had such great opportunities in the eyes of the world anyway, if he had just gone along with the opportunities that were being given to him by the world, which would have required him to compromise on his convictions. But he could have gone so far with that, right? But he chose to sacrifice all those possibilities for the sake of preaching the truth. And I thought that was very inspirational.
Yes.
All right. So we know that despite the challenges that he faced, Zwingli's influence and his leadership brought about significant reforms in Zurich, including changes in worship practices and a shift to a more biblical understanding of faith. Can you please tell us about how he did that and what influence we saw him bringing into the worship systems and practices and traditions in Zurich?
Thank you. It is so amazing that he was not willing to give up on what he had learned. We see him standing on the solid truth, and that he understood what it meant to stand for Jesus. We also thank the teacher that he had introduced him to the ancient Hebrew and Greek, who helped him in understanding that forgiveness of sins was only through Jesus and nothing else. And that made him to develop more interest in studying the word of God and searching the scriptures day and night, wanting to understand fully. Not only that, we also discover that at a time that he brought this reformation, his friends, Luther, who did not just sit down also, he wrote some writings that were forwarded to him. that they decided that if those writings for Luther could be sold in Switzerland, they would help a lot. And we see a Lucian who went taking these writings there. And as they did that, most especially on the Lord's Prayer, that is where there was emphasis in that they were to concentrate on that one. And because of that, God prepared the people for that reformation through the preaching of Zwingli. Mm. As he prepared the people for that reformation, the enemy did not just keep quiet also. You know, it was like two movements pulling each other. The other side, the church exalted traditions that actually crimes were licensed for the sins that people were committing. And each sin, depending on the magnitude, there was a price that was tagged to it. And then we see Zwingli standing to say, despite that a sin entered through Adam and we are all dead because of that sin, mm-hmm. we have redemption through Jesus who came to redeem us. And that no sin was to be paid for, except that Jesus had paid everything on the cross and people were to look to the cross. And because of that, there was division. Others felt that it was just a hard truth that came to them, but many people embraced the truth. We thank Zwingli that he did not bring the gospel with the hard doctrines to people. He knew that people would not be able to understand.
Yeah.
So he decided to teach it in its simplest that people were able to understand as he was teaching, and the truth was received.
Mm.
And because the enemy saw that the truth will go very far, he decided to revive the enmity that was there in Rome, that they had to send deputies to go and teach something different from what Zwingli was teaching. Despite that, we thank God that among those deputies, one of them, after listening to the messages or to the truth, the gospel, as it was preached in Christ, he decided to go against and became part of the Reformation movement. And still, the devil did not keep quiet on that one.
Mm-hmm.
He still aroused interest in the enemy that they decided to send to have a council at Zurich, in which they wanted to invite Zwingli, but other people stood in for him. They decided and advised him that it was not necessary for him to be there,
mm-hmm.
but that they were going to stand for him and debate the issues as they were. There was a time that Zwingli was got seriously sick, that he was almost at the point of dying, that the other people that were eagerly ready to listen to his preaching had concluded that he was dead.
Mm.
And meanwhile, Luther was locked up in a cell. Had it not been for the intervention of God, all hope was lost.
Sure.
But God still gave hope to Zwingli that after he was healed, the man was unshaken. He was able to stand for what he had known, and he preached boldly. I like it where after those who were standing for him spoke the truth, these others from the church who wanted to exalt the traditions of the church,
mm-hmm.
even when they met in that meeting where they were to debate, they were arrayed in expensive clothes, arrayed with those not wearing jewels. Yet the reformers were just so simple and people were able to see a difference. It is so painful that people can be so arrayed in that kind of pomp and that kind of dressing from what they were charging people.
Yes.
And we thank God that two students gave themselves to stand in between those that were standing for Zwingli as well as on the side of Zwingli. And it was so mysterious, so wonderful how God works, that those students would get to listen to the debate that was going on, and their letters would be written to update Zwingli and were put in a basket. And they would come with the pottery. The guard who was guarding just saw that they were carrying pottery and not the letters, and letters would be delivered to Zwingli. Then he would write and reply back, God is so amazing. And when people stand for the truth that they have known, God always exalts the truth. And it is also so amazing that Zwingli, as he stood to condemn corruption, the enemy decided, if we can silence the leader, we will have silenced everyone. So let's get hold of the leader, hammer him. When we have hammered him, the followers are gone. And they could not silence Zwingli with that. Despite all those evil intentions that were planned, God still had a way that those few that had received the truth, they were able to stand for the truth. And those who were sent, like Tezeo, Samson, to destabilize the reformation that had started, they were met with the hard resistance that they had to leave, and they knew it was not easy. And I have learned that the devil does not easily give up. When he has failed in another way, he will still find another way to counteract the truth. I think today in us as leaders of the church, leaders that are leading people that are yearning to know the truth, we need to stand for the truth, regardless of whatever situation, circumstance that we may go through. When people have seen that we have stood for the truth, they will rise up and support the truth, and interest will be aroused in them studying the truth and wanting to know why our leaders are being silenced. I think we need to stand up as a church today, speak for the truth that we have known. Unless we don't live by this truth, and we are not for the truth, then we will fear to speak the truth.
Sure. That's powerful. And that's really a call to action, not just for leadership, but even for the members of the church, all those who claim to be believers and followers of Jesus Christ. That is a very strong call to action, to stand up for the truth. And the interesting thing is that in many ways, I think the adversity that we might face is not even as much as the adversity that these men face, people like Zwingli and Luther. What they were facing, at least in my estimation, seems to be much stronger than what we're facing now. Of course, as we move forward in time, and we know from prophecy that things are going to get much more difficult and much tougher, it might call for much more courage to stand up for the truth. But if we're failing to stand even now in these current conditions, which are not, you know, for the most part, are not really life and death situations, but even then we're failing to stand up for the truth in many ways, I think that that spells a very a shaky future when persecution begins.
Yes, it's true. It's true. It's true. I agree very much with you.
Yeah. Now, would you say that there are some traditions even now that might need to be dismantled, that need to be held up to the light of truth of God's word, that maybe that's where we can begin right now? Do you think there are some traditions?
Yeah, so to say, there are, you know, traditions that we want to exalt above the law of God. Rituals. People believing that God is not there, wouldn't be there to help us, believing that the church can formulate doctrines and above the Bible. I think the greatest constitution that humanity has ever had, it is the Bible. And that is what actually has brought condemnation to Zwingli, that he was trying to breach peace, and that he was trying to bring anarchy for not lifting up the traditions of the church, but rather, I like the answer that he gave. He says, if the Bible is the only constitution that would bring peace, and he had challenged the leaders at that time that there was actually more peace in Christendom than any other place or than never before, because the Bible was lifted up, and he had stood and said, where we want to bring in the human constitution above the Bible, I would rather stand for the Bible.
Hey. Wow, that's powerful. That's very powerful. Sure, I love that. I love that. Oh, now it looks like we're losing our partner.
We need today.
Okay, we've got you back. Sorry, we were disconnected for a moment there, Pastor. Are you there? Hello, Pastor Mazuba. Are you there? Okay, let's see if we can try.
Able to get you.
Okay, we can hear you. We can hear you. All right. So please continue. I think we got cut off for a second there.
Yes, I was just saying that I like the stance that Zwingli had made, that exhorting traditions above the Bible, that would not help. And he stood and said, let the greatest constitution that humanity can ever have, that was to bring peace rather than anarchy, was the Bible.
Right.
And the Bible alone. I think we need to stand for that.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, the call, there was a call for unity, the challenges of division. So this chapter also explores Zwingli's efforts to unite the Protestant movement amidst theological disagreements. And while striving for unity, the divergence of views on issues like the Lord's Supper highlighted the complexities of maintaining harmony within the growing Reformation. Can you tell us a little bit about some of those theological disagreements and how they were able to navigate those?
Come again briefly. I think there was a breakdown in terms of network.
Oh, okay, okay. So we're just talking about how this chapter explores Zwingli's efforts to unite the Protestant movement even amidst theological disagreements on issues like the Lord's Supper, for example. So there was some complexities in maintaining harmony within the Reformation. Can you tell us a little bit about that part?
Okay. On that one, I think what I would say is a unit of the church is so important.
Mm-hmm.
And doctrines that are not separating us so much shouldn't be much of a problem. There's always still a way how, as a church, we are able to come together and work out something that is able to help us, which is in harmony with the Bible.
Yes, yes. And then what about those doctrines where we differ? Hello, Pastor?
Hello?
Yes, I was saying there are also those doctrines where we differ from one another. How do we navigate those?
Okay. Where we have doctrines where we may be able to differ with one another, the counsel that we get is that let not an individual stand alone and go with his view because of the way he understands that one. Let him sit together with the brethren in counsel together, and where there's multitude of counsel, always there's still a way that God would still bring us together. Unlike when he decides to go away with what he may think that this is the right view, it is also important to come together with other brethren, counseling together, and then a way is provided in order to maintain the unity of the church.
Amen. Amen. And how would you conclude this for this chapter? How would you wrap this up? What are the key points that we should go with?
I would simply say, Zwingli and other reformers during their stage, they did their part and they stood for what they had known, that this is the truth.
Mm.
They lived their faith. They are gone. In our nowadays today, knowing the great time of trouble that is coming ahead, we cannot simply learn from Zwingli and other people and then talk so much about them. We need those that can take up the stage today. Of course, learning from how those stood for the truth, how they were unshaken. And since those, they did their part, they lived their part, they did their part in the Reformation, today we need church members and Christians that can stand for the truth that they have studied, the truth that they live by, the truth that can help them and brighten their future lives. I like one of the writers who said, we have no fear for the future except we forget how the Lord has led us in the past.
Mm.
If Zwingli and other reformers stood for the Lord, we will still have people that will stand for the Lord and lift and exhort the Bible and the Bible alone.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. I think that we've got what we needed to get out of that chapter, and we really appreciate your guidance through the chapter. God bless you, and enjoy the rest of your week.
Thank you. I'm really humbled to have been invited to be your guest on this one.
Thank you so much, Pastor, and we'll connect again in future, I'm sure. So until then, God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.